Romans 4 and verse 16 says this, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith, the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Verse 17, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead," and notice this, "and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." So we started talking last week about creating the world that you want to see. Creating the world that you want to see. That last portion of the scripture right there says what? Call those things which do not exist as though they did. I said this to you last week. I want to make mention of this. In one sense, God is the one who creates the world we live in. We know that. But on the other hand, we have something to say about the world we live in. Also, it's God's power that creates what does not exist. But it takes our words of faith to release God's power. Now, when we're talking about the world you live in, let me help you with this so that we understand this. Because we made mention of this last week, creating the world that we live in. The world that you live in is this. Think of it this way, your bubble. You know what I mean by that? Your bubble or your sphere of influence or your, you can think of it this way, my bubble or my world is this, my family, my aunts, my uncles, my family. That's my world, my job, the church here. This is my world. So when I'm talking about my world, I'm talking about me, my world, the world that I live in every single day. Because a lot of times people say, okay, so you want me to speak peace to the whole world and the whole world's going to come into peace. Well, you can pray for peace. You can pray for wisdom on people. But we're talking about your world that you live in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And most of the time, your world is the person sitting by you in church today. Amen? It's those closest to you. How many of you know that you can be joyous and the world around you cannot be? You can be prospering and the world around you cannot be. So we're talking about your world. Changing the world that you live in. Changing your situations. Changing things. Because how many of you guys could ask, you would be honest if you were asked this question, are you happy with the world that you're living in right now? Are you really happy? You know, and sometimes we might look at it and say, you know what, I'm not really happy with my world. Now, I'm not talking about everything going on around you, but I'm just talking your world. Are you happy with your relationships? Are you happy in the area of finances? Are you happy in your spiritual walk? Are you happy in your marriage? Are you happy with your kids? I mean, are you happy? Are you really, honestly happy? And if you look at it, a lot of times we'd say, well, you know what, I'm not happy with this. I may be happy with these things, but this needs to change. You know, I may be increasing financially, but, you know, my relationships are not that good. Okay, well, let's work on that. You know, my relationships are not that good. Well, let's work on that. Or maybe your world is my self-confidence. I'm not my self-confidence. I'm not very confident in myself. Well, that's your world. And Scripture says that you call those things that be not as though they are. So, you know, as a child of God, you have to see yourself in a little bit different of a position than the average Joe. Sorry, Joe, I'm not picking on you, Joe. There's Joe back there. It's like, average Joe. Not that Joe, just the average Joe. Okay, average John, but there may be a John in here, so I got to pick some name. Average Josh. There we go. Josh isn't here. I'll use Josh. But if you look over in Revelations 1:6, I want you to see this, because as children of God, you know, we see ourselves a little differently. Because, you know, when you're born again, you're in God's kingdom. You're no longer going to hell. You're going to heaven. But things change. You start to see yourself differently. Amen? And so you have to see yourself in a different light. You have to see yourself the way God sees you. And over here in Revelations 1:6, it says this, "And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He has made us kings and priests. Well, if he's made you kings, how many of you know kings handle things differently than average people? Well, how does a king change things? They decree it. They say it. So when you decree something or say something as a king, people listen. So if you say, this is what we're going to do, I decree it as the king of this country or king of this region, then everybody lines up and does it. There's no questioning the king. There's no question. People just do it, you know? And that's like you watch those movies where a king will decree something, like decree a tax or decree that they fight to come an enemy that's coming against them. And they say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to fight. Well, how many of you know that means you're going to fight? There's no question. When a king says something, people listen. Here's something to get a hold of. When children of God say something, heaven listens. Heaven listens to what you say. And, you know, a lot of times God's waiting for us to say something so that he can step in on the scene and do something. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I'm waiting for God to do something. Well, you might be waiting a while if you're not saying anything. You know, sometimes you got to understand God is watching your word. That's why Scripture says, I hearken to my word. I listen for the word. I watch over the word. So whatever you say, if it lines up with the word, that gets God's attention. All of a sudden, then God says, okay, we can do something with this. So the world you live in can literally be changed by the words you speak. By the words you speak. Now, there are some things that you can do, you know, like the world you live in right now. Maybe you say, I want to have a world that's full of peace. My world needs some peace. You can have it. I want health. I want success. I want faith. I want the God kind of love in my life. Well, these are all things that you can change, and you can literally create the world that you live in. So we said, well, how do we do it? Well, number one, we looked at Abraham's life, and we said Abraham patterned his life after God. That's what he did. Abraham, the scripture says, the one that we first read, says that Abraham was the father of faith. So what did Abraham do? Well, Abraham believed by faith. He spoke in faith. He acted in faith. He lived by faith, and he received by faith. Abraham's whole life was faith. And what he did is he literally patterned his life after God. He acted, listen to this, like the God he served. You are, I remember hearing this years ago, and it helped me out, you are a faith child of a faith God. You've got his DNA. You know, when you're born again, the inside of you changes. Amen? And you're not the same. But what happens is the download that you get is now faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. Everything became new. Your inside changed, but then there was a download. God said, now you're faith. And I'm a faithful God, and now faith is on the inside of you. So what's great about that is you've changed so you can pattern your life like Abraham did. You can say, Abraham patterned his life after God. I can pattern my life after God, the God that I serve. So what we can do is look at Scripture and say, well, how did God act? How did God do things? How did God handle situations? That's why when you read the Bible, you look at Jesus' life, you can see God. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what we're saying is if you look at Jesus' life, you can see how God would handle situations. That's why when you look at Jesus' life, how did Jesus handle sickness? What did he do with Peter's mom that had a fever? He commanded the fever to leave. I told you multiple Sundays ago, that tells me right there that fever's got ears. And if fever's got ears, then everything else has got ears. So things listen when you talk. Now, to most people, they're like, that's craziness. But Jesus told the fever to leave, and it left. You know what happened with Lazarus? I love that story of Lazarus. You know, when you look at that, I saw this story differently this week. I never had seen this before. I thought, man, this is such a good story. Because over in John 11, you guys all know the story of Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. They come to Jesus, and they say, he's sick. Come to him. And Jesus, being Jesus, tells them that his death will not be unto death, but will be for the glory of God. Remember that? And what he does is he does something very interesting. He stays for 2 more days. So Jesus waits 2 more days. He doesn't run to the tomb. He waits 2 more days. And when he's on his way to go talk to Lazarus, they run up to him and they say, don't come. He's already dead. And if you remember what Jesus said he wasn't dead. He was asleep. Notice the wording. Jesus watched what he said. Because what did he say before that? It'll be for the glory of God. He knew what he said was important. And he didn't just say, uh-oh, Lazarus is dead. He said, no, Lazarus is asleep. So when he goes to Lazarus's tomb, he says he's going to bring him out of the tomb by saying, Lazarus, come forth. But what does he say? Lord, I prayed that prayer. I'm summarizing. But Lord, I prayed that prayer so that they would hear it, so they would know all glory goes to him, to God. Very interesting that he watches what he says. Watches what he said. So he called Lazarus asleep. And what happens if you're asleep? Get up! And that's what he did with Lazarus. It's what he did with the centurion. You guys remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? Woman presses in on Jesus' garment, touches him. She's healed. But he's on his way for the centurion because the daughter is dying. And when it's happening, what happens? All of a sudden, the woman is healed. It changes the whole course. She's written down in the Bible. She's completely healed. Jesus tells her to go on her way. They come up to Jesus and they say, leave him alone. Sounds very familiar. Leave him alone. The girl is dead. Well, how many of you know Jesus could have been like, man, I missed that one. Like, or, oh no, what are we going to do? Or, what do I do now? Or, lady, why'd you touch me? But Jesus is not moved by that because he told the centurion, if you believe, anything is possible. But what he did is when that centurion heard that news, that father heard that news, that his daughter died, instantly fear tried to come in. And the Bible says that Jesus talked to that man and looked at him and said, fear not, only believe. What's he doing? Saying, don't say nothing. Stay connected to me and my word and watch what will happen. And his daughter came back from the dead. See, that's why a lot of times, I'm going to tell you this. Are you ready? This will help you with the world you live in, creating the world you live in. Sometimes you need to keep your mouth quiet. You don't need to vent to everybody. You don't need to tell everybody your problems. You don't need to talk about how bad it is. God knows how bad it is. Talk to him about it. Amen? But what happens is we speak the word, and what happens is it creates the world we live in, so we start talking fear, we start talking lack, we start talking anxiety, and what happens to the world? Anxiety, fear, turmoil. See, you got to put a guard over your mouth. That's why the Bible says, watch what you say. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Therefore, choose life. Therefore, choose. So he's saying, Abraham patterned his life after God. We can pattern our life after God. We can be cautious with what we say. See, Genesis 1, how did God create everything? And God said, let there be light, and it was so. And God said, let this happen, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. So, you see that there's power in his word. But here's what's amazing. That's God's word. You have God's word called the Bible, and God's word coming out of your mouth is the same power. That's his word. This is not my word. This is God's word. Because my word, there's power. Yes, it can change my mood, but there is life and power in the living word of God. So when I say that living word out of my mouth and there's faith there, things change. My world changes. Things start coming up. So we can pattern our life after God just like Abraham did. Abraham's the father of faith. You sing about him in, you know, VBS. Father Abraham had many sons, and I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left, you sing about it, which means you are a child of God. And what I love is this scripture in Galatians, where it tells us he redeemed us from the curse of the law so that we could share in the blessing of Abraham. So see, we're all in this family together. So we can change things. We can change the whole world we live in. We can literally create the world that we live in by patterning our life after God. Number two, we said this last week, God wants you to live in His world. Romans 12, 2, I told you we were going to go here before, says, be not conformed to this world. This world will always try to conform you. It will. It'll always try to mold you. And what are some things that this world wants you to do? Well, this world will try to conform you by circumstances. They try to dictate the kind of world you live in. How many of you guys know a financial crisis will try to dictate the world of poverty to you? Physical symptoms want to dictate a world of sickness and disease to you. Economic factors want to dictate that you'll never have a prosperous world. Crime and violence. How many of you guys are noticing an uptick in that right now? Crime and violence will try to dictate that you live in an unsafe and dangerous world. So circumstances will try to conform you. People around you. Well, we won't talk too much about that. No, because we've all been here. Your relatives will tell you that you can't live in a prosperous world. Your family will tell you you won't make it in whatever world you're in, world of education, teaching. Your family will tell you, you're not going to make enough money doing that. Why are you doing that? Financial people will shake your head and tell you you're not going to live in that prosperous world. Medical people will try to tell you that you're going to always have a world of sickness and disease. Your friends want to keep you in their world. Listen to this. Your friends want to keep you in their world that they've decided to live in. Your friends like their world. They want you to join them. They're like, go ahead and pitch a tent with me. Nuh-uh. I ain't pitching no tent. If you're not living in the world that God wants for me, I'm not going to pitch a tent and hang out with you. Because you either come over here or I'm not living in your world. But your friends will want you to live in that world. So these situations, circumstances can try to conform you. People can try to conform you. Your own thinking. You know the thing you go home with every day after church? What's between your ears? Let me put it this way. It's easy to live by faith right here. This is easy. Because you got good people around you. People you love. People that care about you. People that believe in you. But living by faith is what you do when those doors open and you go home. That's where the work happens. There's this whole thought process now in the world we live in that we don't have to do nothing as Christians. We don't have to read our Bible. We don't have to pray. We just live our life. Well, you're going to live way below where God wants you if that's your thinking. So you got to come up. You got to realize that God wants you to spend time in His Word so you know what the Word says about your situations, so that you know what the Word says about the world He wants you to live in. You got to come up. You got to spend time in prayer so you learn how to hear His voice, so you know how to pray. Because I'll tell you this, I say this to people all the time, and I don't say it to scare people. I try to help people get ready. But at some point in your life, y'all, something's going to happen. You're going to have to know the Word of God and know how to pray. And people are like, are you speaking doom and gloom over me? No, I'm really not. But every person, the world we live in is pushed in around us trying to conform. At some point, something, you're going to have to stand. You got to stand. You have to stand against it. You're going to have to stand and know what the Word says so that you realize I can create this world that I live in. I can change some things. So people can do it. Your own thinking can do it. You have to not be content with whatever world you find yourself in right now. Don't be content. What do I mean by that? Don't get comfortable. Always be looking at it, changing, coming up. You might say, I'm prosperous. I'm at peace. Good. Believe for more. Change. Keep working. Keep coming up. Come up. More peace. More peace for your family. Don't just settle and say, oh, I got it all. I'm good. No, we're always going forward. Amen? We're always going forward. Renew your mind to the will of God so that you can discover the world that God has planned for you. When you discover the world that God wants for you, then, right then, you have to believe you can have God's world. When you spend time in the Word, you find out that God wants a different world than what most people think. But as you renew your mind to God's Word, you'll see that world, then you have to believe that it's possible for God to help you have that world. You can have a world of peace. Some of you might think, I've never had peace my whole life. Well, God wants you to have peace. You can have health. Amen? You can have wisdom and strength. You can come up financially. I mean, you know, people come up financially. It's interesting to me when I watch people increase financially that don't even serve God. And they apply biblical principles and it works. And they're like, I wrote a book on how to increase finance. And I'm like, all you did is just took what the Bible said and did it. You know, that shows you that it works. But why is it that the world that doesn't serve God needs to prosper and the Christians need to lack? Christians ought to be the richest people in the world. Christians ought to own more land than everybody else. Christians ought to have businesses and jobs where people can work. Why? Because we're good employers. We take care of people. I mean, who better to work for than a believer? And who better to work for than a loving believer? Amen? I mean, Christians ought to increase. Christians ought to be, you know, I told you guys this. I looked at it, and I think it was, I want to say it was $372 billion or three. I can't remember the exact billion, but it was a billion. It was a lot of money. But you know who the largest contributors to people in need are in the world? The church. The church. The church is... It's not Hollywood. It's not Paul. We blew politicians out of the water, y'all. On our giving, we did. The church did. The church gave I think it was $37 billion or somewhere around there in the whole year. That's how much money we give to organizations to help out people in need. Why? Because we're generous. So, you know, God wants us to change our thinking. He wants us to see that world differently. And he wants us to see what his word says about the world that we live in. So number one, we can pattern our life after God like Abraham did. Number two, God wants us to, he wants to show us that world he wants us to live in. Well, how do you find that out? By getting in his word. But the third thing he wants, and the last thing is this, he wants you to pattern your life after him. Well, how does God live? Well, look right here, Mark 11:23. I like this. This is a good scripture. For assuredly I say to you, whoever, well, who's a whosoever? I'll take it. I am. Whoever's anybody. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever. So whosoever can have whatsoever he saith, if you believe it. Well, how do you get yourself to believe that? By spending time in God's word, and you'll believe that that's the world God wants you to have. So God wants you to pattern your life after him. If you look at your world and you say, you know what? It's not happening in my world. The things going on around me, it's not what God wants. It's not lining up with the word. You can change it today. Now understand, I'm gonna make mention of this because I do this all the time. Because a lot of times people think, I'm going to speak something and it's going to happen today. Like this moment, everything, like I'm going to say, Lord, I thank you that you're taking care of me financially. Here's my scripture, da, 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 da. I notice in my life I'm maybe not increasing this area. You want me to be an increaser. You want me to come up. So I'm going to start saying the word in that area. And tomorrow when nothing changes, people are like, well, it didn't work. No, it works and it's working. It's just taking some time to work. It's not that God hasn't answered your prayer. It's not that God's not moving. Understand, this will help you out. This will encourage you because this helps me out all the time. I remind myself of this when I pray. You remember the story over there in the Bible in the Old Testament when Daniel prayed? And he said, he prayed and the angel came to him and the angel showed up on the scenes and the angel said something very interesting. You know what the angel said? He said, the first day when you said the word, I hearkened unto your word, I came. But he said, it took me some time because basically, I'm summarizing it. This is Matt's version. But he had to fight the principality of the power of air. He had to kind of push through some things. But he said, Michael, you know, Michael the angel, had to come and assist me so that I could come. But I came. He came when he prayed. He came when he heard the word. When you say something, it releases God's power. It's already working even if you don't see it. See, that's why you sing that song on Sunday, even if we don't see it, he's working. even if we don't feel that he's working, he never stopped. You never stop working. It's Bible. He's working right now. Now, you might say, how does that work with my world I live in? When you declare the word of God and you say, I'm changing some things because I'm not happy with the world and I'm seeing that it doesn't line up with the Bible, and I declare that word, the second I say that word and I start speaking that out of my mouth, God starts working. And especially if you believe that he can do it, that's believing, that's heaven. And faith gets there by hearing that word, spending time in the word. Now, I use Lonnie and I's example with this all the time because Lonnie and I, we're good friends and I can use him in my illustrations and he still loves me to this day. And in heaven, we're going to be neighbors, so. Yeah, Lonnie's looking at Gerhardt. Don't look at Gerhardt. No, I'm joking. But Lonnie and I, Lonnie and I have been coming to prayer on, it used to be prayer on Monday nights, and it used to be prayer on Tuesday, and now it's prayer on Wednesday before service. We do prayer from, 6 to 7, then we have church from 7 to 8. And so we've been praying, Lonnie and I have been praying together for a long time. And, we've come together, and I remember when I moved back, we started praying for the community. And when we got together, I'll remember numerous times, Lonnie and I would be praying, and God would put on our heart to say something. Now, how many of you know God will never do something until you say it? That's the key right there, say it. Saying what God, that's why when you pray, God will tell you to say. So Lonnie and I, we would be praying, and he would say, call that mall prosperous. So Lonnie and I would call Mattoon Mall prosperous. So we would be in prayer, and we'd say, Mattoon is prosperous in Jesus' name. And we would say, that mall is increasing in Jesus' name. Jobs and opportunity coming to that mall. And Lonnie and I would come together every week and we would laugh because we'd be like, if we walk by what we saw, that mall looks dead. Lonnie and I would be like, it's not prosper naturally speaking, but Lonnie and I knew. And we knew that no matter what, it might take some time, but things were going to turn around. And so all of a sudden, things turned around. And all of a sudden, things started happening. And all of a sudden, you get a Marshalls. And all of a sudden, you get a Joann Fabric. All of a sudden, Rural King says, we're not going to live out here. We're going to move over here now. And then all people are like, but JCPenney left. And Lonnie and I never changed our confession. That mall is prosperous in Jesus' name, and every place is full. And all of a sudden, they're like, now we're just going to get a Dunham Sports. Really? And then all of a sudden, they're like, we just want to build a sports complex that's going to cost 80-some million dollars and just bring it to your area to increase jobs. And you'll have over 850,000 people will visit your community. We want to give you more restaurants and more hotels, and we want to boom this area and grow it and prosper it. And I'm looking at it going, Lonnie and I declared that when people thought we were crazy. Why? We wanted to change some things with the world that we lived in. Mattoon is the world I live in. You live in Charleston, start declaring that Charleston is increasing. You live in Effingham? Here's what God does. I'm going to rabbit trail. I'm going to come back. But this is what God does. God will get people in a church, all from our surrounding communities, show them who they are in Christ. Show them what they can do. Showing them they can change the world they live in. Showing them their authority. Showing them that he wants to prosper them. And then he'll send them back to their community. So he takes Dave and Jane, who are from Effingham, and he shows them that. And then he says, go to Effingham and change some things. See, the reason why Effingham's increasing, I truly believe, is because of those two right there. And it's not just them, but it's because they stayed faithful to God. The reason why towns and communities start to flourish is because God takes people in church and then disperses them. That's what I love about God. So that's why Charleston can increase. That's why some of y'all live in Charleston. Why you live in Charleston? Because some things need to change. And God said, I need some faith people that actually believe that I can do something and will declare it over Charleston when everybody else is saying opposite. And he says, I'm going to plant you right in the middle of Charleston, and I want you to start declaring the word. That's why Arcola can increase. See, everywhere the soles of your foot tread should prosper. Ooh. I mean, you ought to just, that ought to make your spine stand up tall. You ought to be like, yeah, what's up now? Charleston, you be turning around. What's up, Arcola? Get ready because increase is coming. You know, I mean, people are like, oh, but that's how God works. So he wants you to create the world, but he wants you to pattern your life after him so you can see how he does it. But then also here, what did I say? I said this, he wants you to pattern your life after him according to Mark 11:23. God says, whosoever can call whatsoever, and if you believe in your heart that he can do it, he'll do it. So that's what's awesome. So start, what does your world look like? Maybe it's prosperity in your area. Speak that. Peace and joy, health and healing. Here you go. Ready? Protection and safety. You ought to declare over your family Psalms 91 every day. When I take Dax to daycare, you know, we have a routine in the morning, Dax and I do. And every morning I declare over him. Now my wife, when she puts when she puts him to bed, she does it. When I put him to bed, I do it, but we pray over Dax. We speak the word over him. But when I go to school in the morning, take Dax to daycare, you know, I pray over him. And I command those angels to watch over my son. And I say, no weapon formed against him ever prospers, nor shall it ever succeed. Anything that comes up against my son that's not of God dies on contact in Jesus' name. My son is healed. My son is protected. My son is protected, but his class is protected. Every kid that's around him, protected. Every teacher that's close to him, protected, because my son is protected. And I declare it over him. I don't get into fear and start saying, oh, blah, 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 blah. No, I say in Jesus' name, any plan that comes against him that's not of God, it's exposed. See, protection, safety. You can declare that over your life. You can declare that over your family. Health and healing. My son, the other night, he had a fever of 102. That's not normal. So what did I do? Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Fever has a name called a fever. I command that fever to come off of his body because greater is he that is in me, but also because Jesus showed me that I can rebuke a fever. And if I got the same word, the same God that we all serve is greater, then I'm going to tell this fever to let go of my child. And so I told that fever to leave my child, get off of his body, and that he is healed and whole in Jesus' name. You say, what happened? Fever stayed for a little bit, and then it went down. Then the next day, you say, what happened the next day? Was it gone? Well, it was gone. It was gone when I told it to leave. I didn't question that. So the next day when the fever started to go up, what did I do? Didn't think anything about it. Just said, Lord, I thank you my son is healed. That's my world. That's my world. I don't want sickness in my world. Come on now. I don't want that. And here we go. Practical, because I'm just laying it all out, and I'm not going to take none of it back. But here's the thing. When I get a medical bill, I don't freak. Now, sometimes my wife has to remind me not to freak, but that's what a good wife does. You know, don't freak, okay, because we're men, you know. We're like, we're going to fix this. I'm going to go down to the place. We'll take care of business. I'll be back in an hour, you know. We're not going to take care of it. We just, you know, trying to be manly. But, you know, she'll remind me, God will take care of it. God will take care of it. Don't worry about it. God is not moved by a medical bill. God is not moved by your bank account. But if, here we go. You ready? Call those things that be not as though they are. So if your bank account be not increasing, call it increasing. If your bills are coming in, and they be not paid, call your bills paid. If your job, and you want to move up to your job, call yourself increasing at your job. Call yourself favored. Call yourself prosperous. You know, God will do that, and God will help you with your words. That's, like I said today, one of the things he works on is your thinking, but he also helps you with your words. Your words. A lot of times the things... Can I be honest with you this morning? A lot of the messes that we get in is because we talk it. Thank you so much. And that's the most quiet I've got anybody in my whole life. I need to try that with my son. Listen here, man. But it's true. It's the words we say. It's the words that we say. That's, words are so powerful. Man, they create the whole world you live in. They can change things. It's your words. So God will say, we're going to work on your thinking, but we're going to watch what you're saying. you gotta be cautious with what you say. So, you know, I've challenged people with this all the time, and it's something we have to remind ourselves. I have to remind myself of it. But if what you said came to pass in 2 minutes, would you guard your mouth better? Let me say it again. If what you said came to pass in 2 minutes, would you guard your mouth better? Stupid husband. There he is, stupid. You know, you'd be cautious. Amen? You'd be like, I'm not going to say that. You got to put a guard over it, your mouth. Abraham was so cautious with what he said because God worked on his thinking and his talking. Because what did he call him? Your name is no longer going to be Abram. It's now going to be Abraham. And every time somebody calls you a name, they're saying, Father of many nations. And Abraham had no kids. And he said, I want you to start saying it, and I want you to start believing it. That's why when he went to the hill to offer Isaac up, he didn't think about it. He said, if God gave me a son, and I have to put him on an altar and kill him, God can raise him up because he's faithful. That's why when he went to the mountain, he just didn't even flinch. That's why he told his son, God, you notice what he told his son? Ooh, there's something to be taught there. God will provide. God will provide. So that's what you can say. God will provide. My bill comes in. God will provide. I heard somebody say this. Look at your bill this way when you get a bill. Then we're going to pray. I don't know why I'm talking a lot about money, but I am. But it's good, so I'm not going to take it back. But when you get a bill and you have an expense that comes up, and you're saying, okay, Pastor, I'm seeing the world that God wants me to live in, and I'm not living there. I want to change some things, but I got bills coming in that are pulling on me. Well, here's the thing. You are what? A child of God, right? So who's your dad? Who's your father? Him, right? So when you have an expense and you're a baby, who do you go to? My kid is not going to, like, think about it. When Dax wants a video game system, I'll definitely buy it for him because I think they're awesome. But, you know, but I may say, you know what? Like, or if he has a need that he can't, who's going to help him? Dad or mom. So he comes to me and asks me to meet. So he'll say, Dad, I have a need. Or I want to play sports. Parents, we all know this. I want to play sports and it costs so much. I want to play a sport. It's going to cost $20. Well, you don't tell your three-year-old, get a job. You know, go get a job. You know, go work in the field. I worked when I was a kid. I was three, you know. We're not living in 1940, Grandma. Calm down. Like, you know. But you would say to your kid, I'll take care of it. So when you have a bill, look at that bill differently and say to God, Lord, we got a bill. We got a bill. And I thank you that you will provide to help meet that need on that bill. He's your father. You can go to him. You don't have to be like, I got to meet the need to pay this bill. No, you can go to him and say, God, we have a bill right here. So when you have a bill, you take it, you hold it in your hands, and you say, God, we have a bill. I thank you that you will provide, and you'll give me an opportunity to be a blessing. Amen? Now, you know kind of what you can do to create the world you live in. You know what you can do. We said one of the things that we can do is we can pattern our life after God, just like Abraham did. We said that we can also, God wants to change or help us to see the world that he wants us to live in. He wants us to live in his world. And then the last thing we can do is pattern our life after him. How did God do it? God said it. God told us, whosoever can say whatsoever, and if you believe that, it will come to pass.